Welcome to The Biz Connection, a show dedicated to the education, motivation, inspiration, and empowerment of business entrepreneurs everywhere. Now, here are your hosts, Jim Rossetti and Ron Nielsen.
Okay, and yes, we are back and we're talking business right here on the radio. I'm your host, Jim Rossetti, along with Mr. Ron Nielsen. And Ron, we're ready to go to work, aren't we?
Absolutely. This is my favorite thing of the week, talking business on the radio.
Yeah, we've been, we've had a little bit of a time off and I'm back in the saddle and I'm ready to get going, raring to get going.
So. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go on vacation again.
Yeah, well, pretty soon you're going to do a permanent vacation.
Yeah, well, that's my goal.
Then he's going to need a vacation from that vacation.
That's right. I'll have to come back and do the radio just to get back from vacation.
How was your vacation? You look rested.
Too short,
huh? Yeah. Looks like you got a little sun.
And, I did.
Hanging out there.
So, it was great.
I just want to tell, I'm really pumped up, Ron. We got this first ever Biz networking event coming up. We've been talking about this with listeners for a long time. We're finally going to do our first one on July the 20th. It's mm-hmm. coming right up here. And I just want to let people know that everybody that listens to this show is absolutely invited to this. It is absolutely free. You can pull. Actually, the building is at 250 East Wisconsin Avenue. I think that's Broadway in Wisconsin where they intersect. It's a high-rise building, newly renovated, really a sharp-looking location for this event. And we'll be partnering with our friends over at Regis and with the people at 250 East Wisconsin. They are the management staff that run the building. And it's really just taking on tenants, but it's really got nice view from, we'll go high up into the 18th floor. People can take a look out over the lake and so forth. And over the city at night, it looks really cool. But one of the things I wanted to let people know is we're all about networking. We talk mm-hmm. about it on the show a lot. And this is only a two-hour event, but it'll give people a chance to meet other entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. other business professionals. Maybe even transact a little business or at least build some relationships, start some relationships.
That's right.
So we do want to invite everybody that's listening. Please feel free to attend. You can park your car inside the building. There's a parking garage. When you come out, bring your parking ticket with you when you come into the event, and then it'll be validated as you're signing in.
Free parking,
food, beverage. There will be eat, drink, be merry, and network.
That's
what it's all about.
And you're going to be there, but I won't be because I'm going to be on vacation.
Well, you know what I'm going to bring along? I thought I'd bring this great big portrait of Ron.
That's right. I'm the unknown radio host.
Yeah, exactly. And it proves that you do have her face for radio.
It does. It absolutely does.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting folks that have been listening. Maybe some of these folks have been listening since we launched the show in Milwaukee about 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it would be super nice to meet some of the folks.
And at the same time, hopefully some of the people who attend will want to be our guest and tell their story on the Biz Connection.
That would be great. We're looking for those. And if you're sitting out there and you've aspired to come on the show and tell your story, come on to this event and let's talk a little. I think Ron would enjoy definitely meeting you. And Ron books all our guests.
That's right.
And does a heck of a job keeping it straight. I don't know how you do that sometimes.
I don't either.
It's a challenge. But we do a nice job. We get almost every week we got a new guest on the radio. And many of them are entrepreneurs.
That's right. Yeah. And if you want to come on the show and tell your story is a story that's very seldom ever told behind the business.
Right.
The story of struggles and successes and mm-hmm. telling people what you've learned along the way.
Right. The highs and the lows. So go to the website. Go to SEWisconsin.score.com. www.upcountyhope.org and just click onto that website. Scroll down to about the middle of the page. It'll say upcoming events, and they will see the July 20th. Just click onto that, and you can easily register. We're just trying to get a count for food and beverage. But other than that, you are absolutely invited. It is absolutely free, and we want you to come and get acquainted.
And one more time, the address and location is?
It's 250 East Wisconsin Avenue. And it's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on July the 20th. So mark your calendars because I'm looking forward to meeting these folks.
All right.
All right. With that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Ron.
Well, our motivational moment, and I know I've used this before, but this is Henry Ford. Henry Ford is one of the individuals who built America and is most often credited with inventing the automobile.
Yes, he is.
He did not invent the automobile. What he invented was mass production.
Mass production, yeah. His duplication process is what,
So, I mean, the story of Henry Ford is absolutely amazing.
And one
amazing thing
he always said, you can have any color you want as long as it's black.
That's right. And he also said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
You're absolutely right. That's right.
One of my favorite quotes. Anyway, he was born in 1863. In a township just outside of Detroit. His father had immigrated from Ireland, and his mother was born in Michigan. His father gave him a pocket watch in his early teens.
Wow.
And by the time he was 15, he disassembled it and reassembled the timepieces for his friends and neighbors dozens of times, gaining a reputation as a watch person. In 1876, his mother passed away. And in 1879, he left the farm to find work as a machinist in Detroit. In 1882, he returned to the farm where he became particularly adept at operating a Westinghouse steam engine. Mm-hmm. During this time, he also studied bookkeeping. In 1891, he became an engineer with the Edison Illuminating Company, Thomas Edison Company.
Yes.
He was promoted to chief engineer.
Con Ed.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. He was chief engineer in 1893, giving him enough time and money to devote his attention to his personal experiments with gasoline engines. Mm-hmm. While attending a meeting with Edison executives, he was introduced to Thomas Edison, and encouraged by Edison, he designed and completed a second vehicle in 1898.
Was that the brain of Menlo Park?
It could have been.
Edison, yes.
He was backed by the capital of a lumber baron and resigned from the Edison Illuminating Company and founded the Detroit Automobile Company in 1899. However, the automobiles they produced were high-priced and low-quality, and the company ultimately failed. That's something a lot of people don't know. With the help of a friend, he designed and built a 26-horsepower automobile in October of that year. Mm-hmm. With this success, he had some stockholders of the former Detroit Automobile Company, and they formed another company bearing his name, most commonly known as
Fomoco.
Fomoco Ford Motor Company.
Ford Motor Company, yeah.
Teaming up with a former racing cyclist, he produced an 80-plus horsepower racer, which at the time was unheard of, which was driven by Barney Oldfield to victory in a race in 1902. Mm-hmm. With the backing of a Detroit-area coal dealer, he formed a partnership to manufacture automobiles, and he went to work designing an inexpensive automobile. The duo leased a factory and contracted with a machine shop owned by John and Horace Dodge, to supply over $160,000 worth of parts. Mm. Sales were slow, and crisis arose when the Dodge brothers demanded payment for their first shipment. In response, they brought in a group of investors and convinced the Dodge brothers to accept a portion of the company. So they actually owned a portion of Ford Motor Company at one time.
Okay, all right.
One of the company's most famous products was introduced in 1908 and dubbed the Model T.
Yep.
And guess how much it cost? $825.
$825. If you found one today that was in any kind of shape, it'd probably be worth $800,000.
That's right. And as you said, he told everybody you could have it in any color as long as it was black.
Yeah, I love that.
So that's the story of Henry Ford.
Oh, good stuff. Okay, we are coming up on a break here. You are on America's All Business Talk Show on the radio, The Biz Connection. We're coming right back, and we're going to talk engines today, Ron. So when we get back, we'll be we got a great guest coming up. So stay with us.
As a business owner, you're an expert at what you do, and that's why you choose an expert to help you manage your investments. Hi, I'm Margaret Whitcup of Veritas Financial Services. At Veritas, we believe an educated investor is a better investor. Call me at 920-893-5262. I'd like to provide you with a free copy of the book, The Lies My Broker Taught Me, and 101 Truths About Money and Investing. Just for mentioning this radio ad, I'd like you to understand the difference between investing advisors and so-called wealth managers and prudent investing. There are 20 must-answer questions in this book for your journey toward peace of mind. Again, 920-893-5262 and receive your book today. The book will reveal the real truths of investing, and in it, you'll learn why. Again, that number is 920-893-5262.
This is Paul Sanger, shareholder at Winter Kloman Motor and Rep. For almost 50 years, we've provided businesses with sound accounting and financial services. Here's Scott Thistle of Halen Homes talking about his experience as our client.
I'm not like a high-level detail guy. I mean, I can't sit down and plug through stuff and journal entries and stuff like that. I went to business school and graduate school, and I have a pretty good grasp on accounting stuff, but I'm not an accountant. Winter Kloman Motor and Rep, they are detail-oriented people, and I know I need that to backstop what really is something that I don't enjoy doing. There's a lot of examples. It could range from a most recent one that we just had this week about the process of entering invoices to be paid. That's one of these sort of detail type things where you got to get it right, because if you don't get it right, you can pay the invoice twice. Winter Kloman came in and helped me look at the process, figured out where it went wrong and what we did, and we resolved the process and fixed the process.
Winter Kloman Motor and Rep, CPAs supporting your success.
Something that every business owner relies on is good advice. And that's where SCORE can help.
SCORE is a nonprofit organization where we provide free business consulting services to people who want to start a business.
For nearly 50 years, SCORE mentors have been helping businesses realize their dreams.
What's even better than dreams is making a dream come true. Volunteer your expertise. You've got it. Share it.
Volunteer your expertise today at SCORE.org.
Sun lights up. Okay, we are back, and we are talking business right here on the radio. We've got a guest in the studio. We'll be getting to in just a minute. Before we do, we got this little segment we call Success Tips, and most of the people given the tips are very successful people.
In and of their own right.
In their own right, and today I think we're going to hear, and folks may get to meet Dan at the networking event on July 20th. Dan Sim is the dean of the business school at Concordia University. So without further ado, let's turn it over to Dan Sim.
Okay, we're on the air with Dan Sim from Concordia University. And in this high-tech world, Dan, do you have any tips on approaching investors with a high-tech idea or in the high-tech world?
So, and first off, it's what kind of investors are you going to approach? So it could be angel investors or venture capitalists, and you approach them slightly differently. But angels are going to be something less than $1 million, and venture capitalists is going to be more than that. To get the attention for sure of a venture capitalist, if it's tech, you're going to need strong intellectual property. That's largely what they're investing in. Make sure you've done that carefully. You've gotten patents in place or copyright or trademark. And then often you're going to need the external validation of sort of an all-star advisory board that you have advising you, and from the investor point of view, giving you them some assurance that what you have is for real and valuable and unique. So,
thank you, Dan.
Hey, good stuff. I'm working with a client right now with several patents, and that's good. That's good information.
That's because, great information in today's world.
You know, you got this intellectual property, and it's going to be the real backbone of the business. So, investors,
and you better protect it.
Yeah,
you better be able to sell it.
So, okay, we are going to be talking. I mentioned engines before, and we're probably going to be talking more motors here, electric motors. But our guest today is a gentleman by the name of Chad Bars, and Chad is president of a company called Acme Armature Works Incorporated. And welcome to the Biz Connection, Chad.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got a chance to get a little acquainted here before we went on the air. I learned some interesting things about your business already. But for folks that are just tuning in or hearing you for the first time, let's talk a little bit about what does Acme do? I mean, what exactly is your business?
Well, an armature is kind of an old name. Traditionally, it's the windings, the part of the
internal parts of it.
Internal parts of an electric motor. But basically, a little bit more simple, we do electric motor repair. Mostly industrial electric motors, everything up from the big ones down to the little ones. We do some specialty motors like servo motors, spindle motors, and build custom motors for people that can't use something off the shelf.
Now, would you be in are you buried in a sea of competitors doing the same thing? Are you kind of unique in what you do, or is
there's a few things we do unique. Uh-huh.
Proprietary way of doing things, so that's good.
Proprietary way of doing things, just some of the procedures that we have set in place. There's a lot of electric motor repair centers out there, and there's even more places that you can buy new ones. There's the internet where anybody can buy stuff. But we like to think we specialize in repair, and one of the new things we did is became ESA accredited, which helps assure the efficiency and reliability of repaired electric motors through number of steps that kind of guarantees.
So what does ESA stand for?
The Electrical Apparatus Service Association.
Another acronym to remember.
That's a mouthful. So what you're doing for the client is extending the life of these electric motors and cutting down some of the expenses or overhead, dealing with a capital outlay of money again. So if one of these motors goes, they got to replace the whole machine or just that portion of the machine?
Replacing just the electric motor. As time goes by, sometimes buying a new one off the shelf doesn't always fit. It doesn't have the same dimensions. So sometimes a person might be...
Those darn engineers, they keep changing that stuff.
Yep, build the machine around the motor.
Chad, I got a question. You mentioned before that you work on very large motors and you work on smaller motors. So can you just kind of give us an example of a large motor that you worked on and maybe a small motor, just to give us a size comparison?
Sure. As far as large motors up to like 500 horsepower, what we're limited to is what will fit in our ovens and what we can lift with the forklift. Otherwise, the principle is pretty much the same. Physical size just gets quite big. Small ones that you can hold in your hand. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of small servo motors that we fix, and they're pretty complex, and they're almost like getting the tweezers out to solder the connections and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. There's some very fine work and some very large work.
Yep, there can be some small, tedious work, soldering circuit boards and little stuff like that underneath a magnifying glass, all the way up to getting out the big wrenches that are a couple inch diameter bolts.
So, Chad, what did you do? How did you get into your own business? What are some of the things you did before, and tell us the story how you got to where you are today?
Well, when I was in high school, basically, I was working at a machine shop, which was great, and there were some opportunities there. But and then I had a scholarship that was available to me to go on for automotive training, and I decided I didn't want to work on cars because it wasn't very specialized. Maybe I could, work on Mercedes or something fancy and right. get into that. But a friend of mine was working at an electric motor repair shop, and he said he was leaving, and his boss told him he had to find somebody to fill his spot before he could leave.
Somebody with the skills and technical skills.
Yeah, and train him. And he had thought of me, and I started thinking about it before I had moved on to some other kind of career.
Yeah.
And I decided that, electric motors seemed intriguing to me because they're kind of odd, and, just being in high school, I thought, well, that's pretty neat. I don't know any of my friends that work on electric motors. I have a lot of friends that work on cars and all this other stuff and work in the cheese factory, but I need to find something unique that I can call a career.
Sure. Yep.
And it grew from there.
So it grew from there. So you went to work for somebody else?
Yep. So I worked at a shop in Plymouth for 5 years, and I learned a lot there. And at the time, they were still very small. It was a great place. I wanted more. So I had moved on, actually at that time, thinking I was going to start my own business. Mm-hmm. But then I was going to do some outsourcing for a company in Sheboygan, and instead they convinced me to come to work for them. So I got talked out of going into business at that time, and I thought, okay, but this is still good. I can be part of a bigger team. And I was there, part of that, and shortly became a part owner of that business, and helped grow that business. Mm-hmm. Won't use any real numbers, but we basically, over the period of the next 10 years that I was there, in charge of a lot of various things, we grew, pretty much tripled the dollar amount, annual sales, and got into a lot of new things, which at that time I had brought them the capabilities to repair servo motors, and got them up to speed and taught them how to do servo motors, and grew that business quite a bit. And then, from there, I decided that I was, growing everybody else's business, so it was time to do it for myself. And that's when I decided.
Well, see, you had that entrepreneurial aspiration. It's out there. You ultimately, and a lot of people do that, maybe even listening to this working somewhere, they say, hey, I aspire someday to own my own thing. So you finally got there.
Yep.
And you say you took over this business. Now, you bought into the business. You bought this business out from a previous owner, and one of the brothers of that is staying on with you as a...
Yeah, correct.
Which is good because, he knows the business. He's been there for a while. He knows all the customers, and makes it a smoother transition.
Yeah.
You agree? Yeah.
Dale and Dave Coutzer, they had worked their whole life. It was the family business. Their father had started the family business in 1951. So I'm kind of inheriting, not really because I bought it, but I'm inheriting a wealth of knowledge and looking at things from a different aspect that I haven't from my other experience at other shops. And I'm taking that and, I'm going to grow it to the next level.
So how did you find the company? Were they a customer of yours previously, or were you out actively looking, or how did that happen?
Well, I started actively looking, and I was looking at shops all over Wisconsin. There was another one down in southern Wisconsin that was a possibility, and the numbers just didn't work out for that one. This one seemed like the best fit, and back that up a little bit there. The reason why I knew this one was a possibility is because I just kind of braved it. I went into the competitor, which is what they viewed me at the time as their biggest competitor.
Yep.
And I just said, I heard that the rumor has it that you guys are getting older and thinking about retirement. And mainly that was the older brother. The younger brother is signed a...
He said, what do you mean getting older? I'm a kid.
Yeah, the younger brother signed on to stay with me for 5 years. And the older brother, now he comes in and works part-time. He still likes to be part of the business.
Sure. Yeah, that's great. Well, I think when you transition, buy into a business, as owners, previous owners will stay aboard for a while. Sometimes it doesn't always work out, because if they were probably a problem with the previous business, then you'd want them out of there. But that wasn't the case here. So, okay, we're coming up on a break. Hold the thought, because you're on America's All Business Talk Show on the radio, The Biz Connection. We'll be right back. Having a strong financial ally is key for a successful business. We're talking with Faye Uraner, CPA of Innovative Solutions.
Hi, I'm Faye of Innovative Solutions. Yes, a strong financial ally that provides value to you and your business is key. It's not just about money in and out. Our financial guidance helps keep your books in order, your business on track, and your mind at ease. It may involve getting strong cash flow, using QuickBooks properly, to minimizing your tax position. We are Into Solutions. Give us a call at 920-457-8007 for a free assessment. Let's have a cup of coffee and discuss your business successful financial path.
Put a strong financial ally that provides value on your team. Visit IntoSolutions.com.
For many Americans, owning your own business is a dream come true. And many business owners rely on help from others to reach their potential. That's where SCORE comes in. With more than 12,000 volunteers ready and willing to help businesses succeed.
SCORE is a nonprofit organization where we provide free business consulting services to people who want to start a business already in business.
For nearly 50 years, SCORE mentors have been helping businesses get off the ground, achieve their goals, and realize their dreams.
What's even better than dreams is making a dream come true.
Come join us and help tomorrow's business success stories unfold today. Your advice and expertise can make all the difference in the world.
I believe one person can make a difference.
Small business owners need you.
Volunteer your expertise. You've got it. Share it.
Volunteer your expertise today at score.org.
The quality of your people is what separates good companies from great companies. Selecting and building a quality workforce requires time and effort. That effort often takes you away from your core business. The Nielsen Group can free you from that stressful and time-intensive task. The Nielsen Group specializes in hiring and all aspects of managing your workforce. With years of HR knowledge and experience, the Nielsen Group will recruit, train, retain, recognize, build a high-performance team, and instill leadership in your workforce that will take your company to the very top. Don't stress for another minute. Call the Nielsen Group now at 920-876-4101 or visit thenielsengroup.org and receive a free information kit. You can have your very own human resource department to help you manage your most important asset, your people. Call today and schedule an appointment at 920-876-4101.
Unforgettable. Okay, we are back and we are talking business. Today our guest is Chad Bars. His company is Acme Armature Works, and acquisition of a company, acquired it, purchased the company. Chad, you as we took the break, we were kind of coming down and finding out a little bit more. So you, once you got into this company, you brought some new stuff to the table for the previous owner. They even though they were able to stay with you in some capacity, you brought new things in for them, which is a real up plus for you.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And with them staying on and working a little longer, especially the younger brother, he's going to stay for 5 years at least. And,
sure, yeah.
He's pretty excited to see the new capabilities. Servo Motors is the biggest one. He's excited and he's learning about them, you know, specialized work that they weren't able to do before because they didn't make these large investments in equipment and, you know, test equipment and training.
Mm-hmm.
Balancing is one thing that they didn't invest in the past. They would outsource that because that's another large cost and training involved. Big expensive piece of testing.
But now they can do it. So
now, yeah.
So Chad, one of the first things you did was actually change the name of the company.
Correct.
So how did you arrive at Acme? I don't want to insult you or anything, but when you see the name Acme, I always think of the Roadrunner.
Yep. I get that a lot too. And it's fun to joke about it. There was a number of names that I was kicking around, and Acme was one of them. And so I started, you know, I kind of laughed at first too, and I thought the Roadrunner too. And but I started looking at it and thinking, you know, names that would portray perfection or quality or those types of names. And that's what Acme means. Acme means that something's at its, if you look up the old traditional, like a Greek meaning or, know, in the books, it means that something's at its highest peak or its prime. You know, like Acme threads. When a guy invented the Acme threads, he thought it was the best because it was stronger and all that kind of stuff. And then after that, my brother-in-law noticed that the word Acme had three of my kids' initials in it: Anya, Molly, and Edward.
That was by coincidence. So it worked out for you.
Yeah, by coincidence. And then. A couple of weeks ago, my youngest son was born, and we had to pick a C name, so we picked Charles.
Plugged them right. So now it's a family business
real.
So.
That's right. Interesting story.
And besides, you never know. He might get active in the business when he gets a little older.
Yeah, so. No, each one of them, all four of them have.
So you got the new name. What about things like marketing? You know, did you take a look and say, hey, guys, maybe there's a chunk of business out there that you weren't getting, and you bring, you know, I've got some new ideas. Did that happen?
Yeah. I have a number of different marketing strategies, and, you know, some of them I had started to employ for other places that I worked, and over the years, I've learned a lot, and well, one of them is Jeff Pedersen with Pedal Down Promotions. He's helping me
a lot.
And he's writing blogs for me and doing website updates and stuff like that, I think is important because everybody goes to the internet first.
Right. Check you out a little bit. Yeah.
Yep. yeah. Otherwise, one of my investors, he's very strong in cost-saving analysis, and he goes out and does training for ISO and So does, does a lot of stuff, and he helps with.
He's great at finding referral business for you too. So yeah. So marketing was, and but now you got other things like bookkeeping and that part of it. Is that all outsourced? You got an accountant on board, or
We use one of the best accountants, or probably the best in Sheboygan, and they're big. They do a great job. All the little stuff we do in-house, we have a lady that comes in and does the bookwork, and she does a good job of documenting our repairs, which is, to me, a very important part of the process. We take a picture of every single job that comes in, whether it's a little piece of machine work or it's a full motor repair. Even if it takes an hour or it takes a week to do the repair, we document every step
of
it.
Did you write a business plan coming into this, or was there one in place from the brothers when you took over? Was some kind of plan for...
I did write a business plan because I was not really tied down to this business. I was looking at a number of different businesses, possibilities. So I personally wrote a business plan myself, and I spent quite a bit of time on it, so I had some time to...
Right. Because you were talking about looking out there maybe 5-10 years with this business, which is good. You know, when you come into a business, I ask a lot of clients, score clients, what are you going to look like in 5 years if you launch this business? And sometimes they can't tell me. They have no idea.
So how long have you been in business now?
September of last year.
Okay.
So not quite a year.
Coming up a year. Okay.
So have you grown significantly, or has this been a year of, you know, just trying to keep the wheels on, or what's the last year been like?
No, we've actually grown quite a bit. I see a lot is customers of the previous owners, the Coutzers and Sheboygan Armature Works, they will come in, and they'll comment, wow, the shop is just completely changed. You know, you painted all the walls white, and you did this and did that. And look at
cleaned it up,
gave it a new look.
Yep, gave it a new look, and
cool.
And we put lots of new equipment and invested heavily in equipment. They see that and they go, "Wow, you know, you guys are in it for the long haul. You've made quite an investment."
Here. Do you bring customers in to take a look at your shop?
Yeah. I kind of openly. We had an open house a few weeks ago, kind of like a ribbon cutting open house kind of thing, and invited a lot of people. We had a great turnout, so a lot of people got to see it with that. And I also encourage people to stop by anytime. You know, I'd love giving tours of the shop and showing the test equipment and showing the machine shop and the balancing and all of our new capabilities.
You know, that in and of itself is a great marketing tool. You know, when people, you walk into a shop or a factory and things are clean and everything is in its place, you know, that in and of itself is, you know, really sells.
Yeah, you walk into a car repair shop where the guy's going to, and there's engine parts laying all over, and you're stepping over them. You got, this guy doesn't, I'm not going to let him work on my new Mercedes.
So that investment pays off, you know, even in terms of marketing.
Sure, it does.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, As you so you're looking down the road a little bit, kind of planning, hey, maybe a second location or a bigger facility or something. Is that in the offing?
Yeah, I actually was a little bit worried for my growth when I bought the business. One of the first things I did before sticking money into the existing building is check to see how much bigger it could get. And the lot size is fairly large, and we can expand more than double the size of the existing shop, probably probably closer to triple the size. So we can stay there for quite a while.
So there's room for growth in there. Yeah. Do you own the building? Is it part of the real estate? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So we kind of made some plans going forward that, you know, once we get to some of our, you know, a certain stage in our goals, then Never Ready looked in and got a few quotes on expanding the building. So I'm definitely thinking down the road.
Right.
So how many people do you employ right now?
Right now it's about six of us. Mm-hmm.
So you got a workforce there.
Yeah.
And you know, coming into a business, had you had experience managing people prior to this? Was that something you were doing? So.
At the last shop that I was at, I was vice president of the whole operations, and I was, you know, running the day-to-day stuff. So I was dealing with about 10, 12 employees there. So okay. I was used to that.
Yeah, every time you come into a place new, everybody is kind of a little on pins and needles for a while. How do we know this new boss is going to be, you know, but once they see good leadership coming aboard, they see growth happening, they see updates going on in the facility, then they get pretty excited. Hey, this place is going somewhere and I'm a part of it. So.
Yep. Definitely.
So, Chad, you mentioned that you have a wife and kids. So has your wife been very supportive of this venture?
Yes, definitely. Before we made the decision that she, you know, I had some other big job offers that I could have easily, you know, raked in the money and just took one of those job offers. But made the decision for the extremely long run and building this business, and she was there supporting me every step of the way.
So this was kind of your passion to build a business.
Yeah.
That's great, because sometimes, you know, the wife said, well, the job has all these benefits that come with it,
yeah.
But you're not going to own that company.
Correct.
This way you're, you know, there is a reward. Sometimes you have to sacrifice a few things, but there's definitely a reward.
So we've only got about a minute or so left on this segment, but let me ask you a question. If you had to do it all over again, would you do the same thing?
Yeah, I would do it. I think I'm not old, but I'm not that young. I had enough time to plan for this, and I think I'd do it the same way. I think it was pretty well executed.
Ask him in two more years, Ron.
I like the word that you use, plan. You had the opportunity to plan, and it sounds like you did just that.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Okay, we're talking today with Chad Bars. His company is called Acme Armature Works, and we're coming right back right after a couple of messages. Stay with us here on the America's All Business Talk Show, The Biz Connection. We'll be right back.
As a business owner, you're an expert at what you do, and that's why you choose an expert to help you manage your investments. Hi, I'm Margaret Whitcup of Veritas Financial Services. At Veritas, we believe an educated investor is a better investor. Call me at 920-893-5262. I'd like to provide you with a free copy of the book, The Lies My Broker Taught Me and 101 Truths About Money and Investing. Just for mentioning this radio ad, I'd like you to understand the difference between investing advisors and so-called wealth managers and prudent investing. There are 20 must-answer questions in this book for your journey toward peace of mind. Again, 920-893-5262 and receive your book today. The book will reveal the real truths of investing, and in it, you'll learn why. Again, that number is 920-893-5262.
Owning your own business is one of the most rewarding things you'll ever do. But it certainly isn't easy. For nearly 50 years, business owners have been getting the help they need from SCORE. All for free.
My SCORE mentor helped me take the first step.
He helped me create a business plan and helped me implement it.
SCORE mentors are passionate about sharing their expertise to help small businesses achieve success.
I could not have done it alone.
Whether you're a startup or an existing business, SCORE mentors can help you achieve your goals and help your business grow. With more than 12,000 volunteers with real-world business experience, SCORE is ready and willing to help make your dreams come true.
SCORE helped me to make the unimaginable possible, all for free.
Visit score.org to get started today. SCORE, for the life of your business.
This is Paul Sanger, shareholder at Winter Kloman Motor and Drupp. For almost 50 years, we've provided businesses with sound accounting and financial services. Here's Scott Thistle of Halen Holmes talking about his experience as our client.
Winter Kloman Motor and Rep provide a number of services for my business. The most important service they provide is really controllership. I don't have a full-time CPA or an accountant on staff here at my business, so I use Winter Kloman Motor and Rep to close the month, go through the normal stuff that you would expect for a full-time CFO at a business. And they do a good job at that. It's nice for me to know that at the end of the month I've got everything done correctly, and I have a lot of confidence in the material they produce for me. They have a team to pull from that have experts, and they've got a pretty high level of expertise when it comes to that stuff. So it's nice to be able to pull from a pool of people that have different types of skills.
Winter Kloman Motor and Rep, CPAs supporting your success.
It's witchcraft. All right. And we are talking business right here on the radio. Our guest today is Chad Bars. Chad's company is Armature, Acme Armature Works. I'll get it right here. All A's. And you're number one in the. Anybody still plug ads in phone books? I don't know.
I have no idea. If they do, it's probably not money well spent. But years ago,
you might have to be there for a. But anyway, we're talking a little bit about. So Chad, you're coming into a 21st century landscape here where technology's moving fast. So probably a lot of the companies you're working with, you said, are robotics are moving into the so something to be concerned with in what you do, because if all these machines change drastically, what's that do to your business? So you thought about that too, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was a major part of my business plan, was to do what I did best, was servo motor repair, spindle repair.
Right.
Everything in industry is getting more and more complicated. Most motors have an encoder on them where they're driven by a variable speed frequency drive. PLCs are being used on almost everything now. There's not too much simple stuff anymore.
It gets right.
pretty. And when I took over the business, that was my focus. I didn't want to just take over the business and continue running it in the same way. We still do all the old-fashioned repairs.
Sure. But you got to have your eye on that future.
Yeah, right. We have our eye on the future, and every time a new series of motor, type of motor comes out with some different feedback, we always keep our eyes on that, and we get new test equipment to properly test it, or get the proper drive to run it when it's after repair is completed.
Right.
So we were talking before. I mean, your goal, or you're looking forward, you're not just looking at repairs, right? You're trying to be, you have a proactive vision in the future?
Correct. The new thing is, for a lot of companies, is reliability. Companies are starting to get more in tune to what does it cost to have this machine down, to have this line down. You know, what does it cost to have however many employees standing around, or send them home, and production's down.
So that can be a killer. Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you from experience, that is expensive.
Yeah.
The most expensive thing you can probably do.
Definitely. So we're trying to be proactive and get out there and help customers with preventative maintenance plans, do vibration analysis, and do balancing on site, and do some on site testing to try and help them stay ahead of that and save them money. It'll cut down in the amount of repair dollars that we do, but it'll make a better situation for the customer.
Sure. So since you've been on board, you brought a website. There was no website prior to your coming into the company. Some of the things that really are necessary right now in this 21st century, you know, people expect to see at least a website.
Correct. I don't even bring that up, because to me, at my age, website is like required. And taking over this business, they didn't have a website, and I think that that is something that's huge. People want to go on there, and we continuously update our website.
Right.
People want to go on there, and they want to see new things. They want to see what you're doing, and make sure it's not somebody just working out of their garage.
Exactly. Yeah, somebody that won't be there tomorrow. You know, it's confidence, I think, that what clients are...
Yep, we're going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm pretty impressed. I think you've done a lot of good homework. You've really thought this through and taken over the thing. You bring these, you bring a new wrinkle to the an existing business that might have, I mean, the business would have still gone on, but probably little by little they start losing ground if they're not on top of all these things. And you brought that to the table.
So, Chad, I mean, you know, can you kind of just describe, I mean, you probably wear a lot of hats as the owner of the company.
He brought them all with him, too. He's got a whole hat rack.
So can you kind of just describe what a typical day, some of the things that you do? I mean, you're not just sitting there repairing motors all day. Is that right? Somebody else? Or do you do that, too? Or how does that work?
Yeah, I do a little bit of everything. But I have to do the planning for the day. I'll either do it the night before or come in real early and plan everybody's workout and make sure everything's going smoothly, make sure due dates are going to be...
Job orders are coming in, stuff like that. Yeah.
Make sure that everything's in order, that the jobs are going to get done and completed on time, and all the proper tests are done and everything's documented and all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
So you do that first and then you go out and...
Yeah. Usually I do that first just to make sure everything's in place, and then I'll do work depending on what type of work it is, complicated stuff like servo motors and stuff like that, encoder testing, and then sometimes I'll go out and do sales. You know, I try to go out, or I'll follow up with existing customers ask how the repairs that we've done over the last few weeks have turned out, especially if they're bigger jobs, and you know, make sure they're installed and working. And then
follow up with the clients.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Following up. So I do a little bit of everything.
So you said you go in early. So what does your typical day start, and typically where does it end? I mean, do you have time for your kids?
Yeah, I make time for my kids always. But
good for you.
Yeah. And I'm fortunate. I think I would be there 24 hours a day if it wasn't for. Dale and Dave and Shane and all my other workers helping me. So I'm very lucky to have that. And
it sounds like you have a passion for what you do, though. You really do.
I do. I put in a lot of long hours. I come in early and I stay late.
Welcome to the world of being in your own business.
But that's an important thing for people to realize. You know, long hours are part of it, but you also have to be able to get away. There are a lot of business owners I talk to that say, gee, I wish I could be here 24 hours a day. And you know, the ones that are, they get burnt out in a hurry.
Yeah. It catches up with
and
you.
Their business suffers because of it.
But I think, you know, if you can plan a nice vacation once a year, get away from the rat race a little bit, and then when you get back, you're refreshed and ready to ask Ron about vacations. He's great.
That's one of my jobs. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it.
But you know, I'm very impressed though. I would call you a millennial, and I think you know millennials get a kind of a bum rap that they're not as. But you seem to have really picked up well. You found a vocation, found a direction, found a company, found an opportunity to bring some things to, you know, to make it bigger, enhance it, what you've got. So.
Yeah.
And you plan. You've planned your business and planned your future. I mean, that's. More than half the battle.
And with all these kids named after Acme, somebody's going to pick up the reins with you when you get ready to retire.
Yep.
And keep it going. So.
Yep, just like the farmers that have kids so that they can kick back.
Right. What do you see as far as keeping employees? Now, you got to get people with a certain skill set to work in this industry, don't you?
It's definitely a specialized industry. And when we hire people with experience. But otherwise, training is the biggest thing. We find somebody with a...
So you will train them, though.
Yeah, we find somebody with a mechanical knowledge or background.
Aptitude,
or,
yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
With them.
Gotcha.
And wanting to learn. And, you know, somebody like me that says, hey, you know, I have all this mechanical knowledge, but I don't know much about electric motors. And then we teach, you know, we do the training from
there.
Okay,
all right. Because I hear talk, there's a lot of jobs that are not getting filled out there right now. The jobs are there, just the skilled labor force to take over those jobs is tough to get. So you're thinking about that, which is good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What would you throw out there, a little biz tip? Let's say there's somebody out there that's hearing you today, and and wants you to, you know, what would you advice might you give somebody just getting started?
Well, I would say that, you know, just step back and think about a good plan. Right. I sat down and wrote a real solid mm-hmm. business plan mm-hmm. and figured out what it was going to cost and what it was going to cost to run it over a long period of time.
Right.
And then I added in the some of the things people don't think about, like the things you need to grow. I put a lot of budget in there for training.
Right.
And even budgeted for new equipment a couple of years down the road. You know, mm-hmm. there's you mentioned staying on top of technology.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, in a few years, there's a couple pieces of test equipment that I already am planning to purchase and put them to work.
Yeah, because we're living in that age where things, man, are moving so fast, really.
So,
yeah.
You know, make a good business plan, and then I had family and friends review that plan, and there was right. a few things they pointed out. And
you've held true to it and held yourself accountable to making that happen.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Chad, we're so glad you came in and talked to us today. I want to check back with you, and maybe in you know, over the next year, let's find out how things are going and progressing. And keep up the good work. I think you're doing a great job. Really.
Sounds good. I always like talking about business.
I'm impressed. And join us on the 20th if you can. Meet some of these listeners. So, okay.
Yes, definitely.
All right. That's our show. Ron, I'm not going to ask you where we're going because I want it to be a surprise.
It will be a surprise, okay. Even to you and me.
Okay. You're on America's All Business Talk Show, The Biz Connection. You can catch us on podcast. Just go to bizconnectionwi.com and go ahead and listen to the show out there. That's our show. See you next week.